Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and blessings, family. This is Oshon Shakur stepping in for Esther Carter. He's a little late right now. So today we were supposed to be talking about Black August, and Black August started from Brothers Inside, basically to stand up for themselves, and the list of why it was started goes on. Give me 1 second, family. Okay. Okay, family, excuse me. I was just looking for some information. The Queen is going to be stepping in with me really quickly in a brief moment. She definitely knows more about Black August than I do, so I want to hand the mic over to her as soon as she steps on. But what I can talk about is the Black Liberation Movement and getting active as a whole, constantly finding out information and the things that we need to do, because as we all know, we are at war on so many levels. Mass incarceration is a really big problem. The systematic injustices that we face on a daily basis, the punishments not fitting the crime, and the list goes on. Unfair sentencing. You know, I know everybody might have just heard about the judge selling teens to the prisons. You know, just really ridiculous situations. Peace, King.
Definitely. I'm sorry I'm late. I'm running into some technical difficulties. I don't mean to cut your wisdom. Add on, sister.
It's all good. Go right on ahead, brother.
You know, peace to everybody who's listening, man. I'm sorry I'm late. It's me and Starry Donso with the Crane O'Shun. And I don't know who else is online, but throughout this show, we're going to have several different people add on about the topic of Black August. Is that what you were just adding on about, Queen?
Trying to, you know, you more articulate about that than me. I know about it, but I'm not fully versed as I should be, and I apologize for that, because it's definitely, you know, something that's really important. Really.
You're being modest, man. But so, well, to kind of get you first and foremost, my man True Star, he going to fall in. My man Sean going to fall in. My man Sincere, little man, a few other brothers from the prison, man, because Black August is a very important time, annually, we recognize that those of us who are revolutionary conscious on the prison, at the time when we commemorate those who have gained freedom. It started in California in the 70s, the movement started back in the 60s and 70s, because we back up at banging against racial injustice out there at a time where the prison system was being used to repress social movements that were happening out in society. You know what I'm saying? And George, you know, he's one of the best of us because he, like so many of us, he went into the prison as a youngster. He was 18 years old, and he had robbed a store for $70, and they had gave him 1 year to life, you know. And when he went in, he was just a young dude who really was unconscious. He was wild. He was in there constantly getting advice, constantly going to segregation. He bumped into an old head named W.L. Nolan, who basically started introducing him to revolutionary theory, conflict theory, and sociology, Marx, Engels, stuff like that, and it started changing his perspective. He was also seeing at that time the Black Panther Party movements on the street, and he was beginning to change his mindset. And so the brother was strong, he was influential, but his man Nolan ended up getting killed. So when his man Nolan ended up getting killed, what that did for him was that made him realize how serious the pigs were about suppressing revolutionary thought amongst the prison. And so what they did in retaliation is they killed the CEO in retaliation for them killing his homeboy Nolan. And George, because of this, was facing a death penalty because he had already had a life sentence. And so him and the two other brothers who killed the CEO that they threw off the tier were facing a death sentence. Meanwhile, his brother, Jonathan, he was building with him through letters, and he basically made his brother conscious. And his brother, being a little impulsive, this is George's words, not mine, because he had told George, he had seen that Jonathan was becoming more and more prone to violence, but he wanted Jonathan to be a lot more conscious about his violent activity. But Jonathan was ready to set the revolution off. So, you know, he ran up in a courthouse, the Marin County Courthouse, out there in Oakland, California, and killed the judge, tried to take hostage a prosecutor and release some prisoners. And everybody died except for one prisoner, a guy named Michelle McKee, who sits in solitary confinement up until this day. And lastly, one of the major events throughout that time was when George, in a prison rebellion with other prisoners, killed six officers before he was himself killed. And that story is not significant because of all the murder and death, because that was happening more so, you know, towards prisoners than it was towards staffers. In fact, if you can kind of go back and study that time, what you will see is that their actions were quite appropriate if you understand how the Aryan Brotherhood was being used as a sort of proxy violent wing to carry out violent activities on behalf of the staff, and then how many people just were being killed regular basis in the prison system out there. You can see that they were put in a position where they had to be violent. It wasn't like these guys were just being violent for the sake of being violent. But that's not what's significant. What's significant is that it points out to us that the prison system has always been used as a way to repress oppressed people who in any kind of way try to rebel, whether consciously or unconsciously, against oppression. And when we think about crime, we got to think about crime as being rebellions against oppression. If I'm poor and I go into a store and I steal some bread, I'm doing that as a result of my condition. I'm not doing that because I have a criminal mentality or I was born a criminal. If I'm out there selling drugs because I don't have no money, it's because the conditions that I come from produce a criminal element in me. Whereas I feel like that's all I can do to survive. And we know that the prison has been used to suppress and repress that. So today, we want to pick up on that, honoring them brothers, and at the same time, talking about really what the movement has come over the years that's been about celebrating and recognizing the armed struggle against white supremacy, colonialism, and imperialism, ever since our contact with the Western. And so we want to talk today about, you know, I'm going to get some of the brothers to talk to y'all about some of the struggles that we're facing here, how it is that we plan on challenging it. Prison lives matter, so forth, so on. The queen, some of the things the sisters face, what it's like to have to grow, be a woman in the age of mass incarceration. I'm very curious about that from all the sisters. Please let us know about that. And we just want to have a great, honest dialogue and hopefully, man, work to do what Brother George is attempting to do, which is change the criminal mentality to the revolutionary mentality. And to me, the criminal mentality is the individualistic, opportunistic, selfish mentality. It don't necessarily mean that you're breaking the law, but if you have a mindset where you only think about yourself, then you have, you know, the antecedent, if you will, for criminal mentality. So And with that being said, man, first of all, is any of the guests that I mentioned before, any of you all online? I know Oshun is online. Is anybody else online?
Peace. Son online.
Peace.
Hey.
Okay. Peace. So we got True Son. We got you too, Shot.
Sean Day.
Oh, just you. Okay, Hotep, that's what it is. So, look, check this out, man. I'm going to toss it around, man. And what I'm going to do, just because more people will be calling in, just to kind of get some order, I'll ask people the question, but then I'll go to the next person, and hopefully we can all just follow up and try to keep it orderly, man, because I want to hear from everybody. I'm going to kind of fall back tonight. I want to hear what y'all got to say. And I'm going to start with you, True Son, man. First and foremost, Hotep, man. I want to ask you, bro, as somebody who was formerly in the belly of the beast, and you know, the history of Black August, you know, why is it important for people out there, now that you are free in the free world, to be engaged in Black August, concerned about Black August, and furthermore, why is it important for them to be concerned about what we face behind the wall as far as our struggles?
Well, I think it's important that people know about Black August, first and foremost, because it's a significant part of history, it's a part of a Black struggle, and it's a part of a movement and a struggle that continues to go on, even though it's not as popular or it's not as televised, it's still very instrumental in the struggle for liberation, the struggle for our freedom, justice, and equality. The thing is that it's not being taught in schools, rarely even in colleges, unless you're in a African-American history class or maybe a sociology class. But, you know, these things are not being taught. So I think it's very important, because these are the struggles that people face, or the disadvantage, I would say, the economically disadvantaged, the poor, the working class. These are the struggles that they may face one day, as far as unfair sentencing, as far as unjustifiably being criminalized or incarcerated, falsely accused. And so once you in prison or facing these struggles, then you see the prevalence and the pertinence of unifying, of solidarity, of coming together and letting our voices be heard and striving to reform or even change some of these policies in place, you know. And just the month of August, there's been so much, you know, there's been a lot of history dealing with the month of August, you know, all the way from 1619 when enslaved Africans first came here, to the struggles with George Jackson, his brother Jonathan Jackson, even Nat Turner, when he went on his revolt. So August is a very historical month when it comes to Black struggle and Black unity and Black uprising. And I think that's very important that people should know about.
Yeah. Hotep, man, thank you for that. I want to bring my main man Shine to the conversation. Hotep, bro.
Hotep.
So the question I want to ask you, man, if possible, man, you've been down 20-plus years, you know what I'm saying? Could you enlighten the people, man, on some of the struggles that may be hit, you know what I'm saying? Some of the struggles that we face on a daily basis that may be hit, you know, that the people, just enlighten the people, and just, you know, what are some of the things that you see amongst prison population? You know, what's going on behind the wall, man, as far as our struggle?
Right. First of all, I'd like to preface what it is that I'm going to say by quoting a brother of ours, a fellow comrade and political prisoner as well, Brother Mumia Abu-Jamal. And he was speaking in reference to Black August, but its overall meaning, you know, has far-reaching implications. But he said that Black August is a month of meaning, of repression, and radical resistance, of injustice and divine justice, of repression and righteous rebellion, of individual and collective efforts to free the slaves and break the chains that bind us. So, you know, as an extension of what you initially had intro with concerning the history of Black August, you know, for me, Black August, for the most part, is a time for us to consciously and actively reflect on and demonstrate that there's always been this barely acknowledged fact that we have historically resisted oppression. And the various faces that oppression has come in from colonialism of Africa to the Caribbean and Central and South America, to slavery, to black codes, to Jim Crow, to the civil rights struggle, all the way up to today and mass incarceration. We have always resisted oppression in some form or fashion. And though it isn't as apparent and visible today as maybe yesterday, it is even more incumbent that society, I feel, should strive to even more understand it and be even more informed, because it is this subtle type of oppression which has the deepest and more pervasive ramifications, if you will. You know, because it's easier to pass on or pass down oppression generationally, and in essence systematically, when it's subtle. So society should care, because today's oppression is sort of like carbon monoxide gas. It's extremely hard to detect, but extremely deadly. And the preventive measure is a thorough examination of the tank, of the tank, or in this case, the think tank, or those who are behind the policies and the practices that constantly find us subject to peonage or restraint and turpitude. And as it relates to what we go through in here, I've been incarcerated for 22 years, and I have seen the mentality of the prisoner change. And the things that we go through now, society should strive to know, because a man, or boy rather, when he comes in here, if he starts off being a boy, then prison has nothing to offer him in his transition into adulthood or into manhood. And so he finds himself in this weird gray area, if you will. He has age. He's subject to have or be confronted with responsibility in the event that he meets his freedom date. But he hasn't been provided with the tools necessary for him to transition into this man that he should be in order to meet these responsibilities head on. So this keeps most black boys as black boys, but have a frame or the body of a black man. And this is very, it thwarts progress. It retards his growth. And therefore he leaves the system being, in essence, in some cases worse than what he was when he was younger. Because in his younger years, I believe, he was a tad bit more open to reform, as opposed to him getting older and doing, you know, decades behind this wall. So what I see is extreme retardation of the maturity of men. And so it has them being, when they come home, being half of men, operating off a set of principles that were only appropriate for prison. And he wasn't taught how to leave those principles and grow into another set of principles which will kind of ensure his success, you know, upon leaving. So that's one thing that I see behind these walls.
Okay. Thank you for that, bro. And that's definitely true. The arrested development, there's not an interest in developing on particularly black men who make up the large majority of these prisons. Into what they call productive citizens. We don't even know what the hell being a citizen requires. And then, you know, furthermore, when you do have advocates who try to get us in a position to be able to perform citizenship duties and responsibilities, they bang against that, as we just seen with Governor McCulloch, as he, you know, attempted to give ex-felons a voting rights back. But I'm not gonna get into that. I want to bring O'Shaughnessy in the conversation. Peace to you, Queen. I want to ask you, as a sister, man, a revolutionary conscious sister, what's it like, you know what I'm saying, out there in the age of mass incarceration where so many sisters are in prison relationships with dudes or have family members in there? Like, what's it like being a black woman out there right now in the age of mass incarceration?
Well, I mean, as I said before, it's very difficult because you have people that you love, that you are worried about in there. So you know, it's more men, it seems, that conscious men, it seems, that are incarcerated than it is on the outside. And we deal with a lot of knuckleheads, a lot of wannabe thugs and all of that. So as far as relationships go, it's really hard to find a brother unless you are extremely active in the movement and, you know, you find somebody while you're doing the footwork. And then you got the family level where, like me myself, I have an aunt who's incarcerated right now to this day. I also have two cousins that are incarcerated. And with my aunt, that's like my mom. So, and she got incarcerated when I was like 17, 18. So at that age, it was like I've kind of lost my mom, especially I'm still growing up, because at 18, you're not all the way a woman. You want to be wild. You're trying to come into your own and know yourself, but, you know, you don't have somebody there that you could talk to, because me and my biological mother, I mean, we cool. I love my mom. That's my mom, but the relationship that I had with my aunt was way different. So it's dealing with her, missing her. It's hard for me to be able to go see her because I'm not mobile. She's like 4 hours away. I don't drive. I know it's bus service and everything, but, you know, at the time, when she first got locked up, I didn't have, you know, that equipment. I was away in school and
thank you for you,
all of that.
Yeah.
So I couldn't go and see her. I was doing my own thing. I was in Job Corps. I had restrictions myself. And a lot of people experience that on the outside. They can't go and see their families how they want to. They can't spend money. You know, some people don't write. Our education system is messed up. And I experienced a situation where this young girl had her brother who was incarcerated, and because her literacy level was horrible, she couldn't really write him a letter, and she felt bad because of that. So, you know, this mass incarceration thing is breaking up families, is causing all type of mental illnesses from both on so many different levels, both inside and out. I was dealing with a brother, and I was dealing with this man for 8 years, and it goes back to what the other brother who was just speaking said, that you go in a boy and you come out a boy. You know, this man is 33 years old, and just, I can't even, you know, I don't know what to even say about him, but clearly he's still a child. And what this mass incarceration system does to our people is just ridiculous, both inside and out. And it's just really painful to see. So we can't do nothing but step up and do something about it, both inside and out.
Sure indeed. Sure indeed. Yeah, I think the most important thing as far as dealing with outside is people are really unconscious of the devastations, or really the reality of it, because they haven't been on the other side of the wall, and so they don't really know about the whole process of the brutality, the lack of programs, and the lack of treatment, or the poor treatment that they get. So when people get locked up, for the youth, they just say, yeah, you know, my homeboy locked up, you know, and they look at it as a rite of passage, but they don't see the other side of the game, you know. But when brothers go in there, some of them start to see the reality, start to see the truth, and start to see how the justice system is, how there's really, really no proper representation. And some people get conscious, but for the people outside, they're so far removed from the struggle. And so it really has to go to education and what we teaching the children out here, because the school system is not teaching them. The school system don't go into debt about the justice system, about prison, about mass incarceration. So really, everybody out here is blind. You know, I ain't gonna say everybody.
Like Go ahead, brother. My apologies.
Yeah. So out here, you know, there's really a lost consciousness. You know, when it comes to Black August and the struggle for liberation, or even what liberation is. You know, so when we talking about Black August, it's like we got to slow everybody down to really sit back and see what's going on for them to see the whole broad picture of what's really happening, you know? Yeah.
True, indeed. The school, it's like the school system is preparing our children to go to prison.
Right.
So,
true.
You know, it's, what do we do on that aspect? They constantly closing schools and opening prisons, opening more prisons.
True. True.
So,
no doubt.
That's very true.
It's like, you know, the way I feel is like we need to just pull our kids out of school because they're not even teaching them properly or teaching them what they need to know. They miseducating our youth.
True.
Huh.
True that.
You know, you know, we all bear witness to the fact that, you know, these things that have happened to us and are happening to us don't just take place in a vacuum. We just didn't wake up one day and these things are happening. We know that there was a beginning or origin to this, and it grew.
Mm-hmm.
And like I mentioned earlier, you know, systematically it took on various looks in order to fit a specific time period so that it could be, quote-unquote, acceptable. But I think, you know, this struggle that we're facing, this oppression that we're facing is so multifaceted that we have to pick, in essence, a strong point that we have in identifying the totality of the oppression, and we need to, you know, all of us individually need to take a particular strong point that we have and go in on that with our youth or with our uninformed brothers and sisters and hope those specific things be seeds enough to have them look at the more broader picture and say, wow, this is connected to that. I didn't even realize that these two things, you know, were related to one another as it relates to my conditions that I'm dealing with. So I think, you know, if all of us can get strong in a particular area, if you will, and hone in on that and then try to make those that we're building with see this right here is connected to that, which is connected to this. And so this is why the result is what it is. And, you know, leave it up to them to kind of like, you know, because knowledge is moving, is motivating. And once an individual is receptive to it, it puts them in a particular direction and it sets a particular course for them. So I think that's, you know, that's one thing we can do, because this thing called oppression is so large and so vast and so multifaceted that,
true,
you know, it'd be extremely hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True fact.
It's extremely difficult, but not impossible. And you know, when we look at back in the 60s or even earlier than that, our people weren't as dynamic. We were a bit more monolithic then. Majority of us were largely Christian. Majority of us, you know, largely concentrated in certain specific areas. We weren't as scattered. We weren't as diverse in our thinking. We didn't cling to as many ideologies or religious schools of thought as we do now. And so all of these things are acting as barriers to understand the full scope of our oppression and the struggle as well. Our people are just more dynamic in this day and time. And so that's in a way acting against us.
Right.
In some degrees, because, you know, like I said, you know, it wasn't nothing in the 60s and even prior to that for us to run up in a church and kind of like get an idea of what's taking place. And then, you know, furthermore, it was right outside our door. It was right up close in our face. And so we knew what it was, and we could somewhat galvanize around certain things a little bit better than today. You know, we so fast, and information is at such a high, you know, everything is coming from so many places. You know, we went into sensory overload in some regards.
Yeah, true. And like you said, the struggle has become subtle. I mean, for the conscious, for those whose eyes open, we see it clear as day. But for those who are uninformed, you know, the struggle is there, but it's so subtle that they can't see it. They know something is wrong, just like in the book, Behold a Pale Horse, you know, it's Silent Weapons, Quiet Wars. You know, there's a war going on. They know they're being attacked. They know something not right, but they can't pinpoint it. You know, it's coming from angles dealing with economic or economic segregation, how people in this area have a little bit of money, but people in this area have more money, and in this area is a little bit of jobs and not adequate education. So they know there's a problem, but they can't pinpoint it, you know, or when they deal with the criminal justice system and how we've been prosecuted four times more quicker on a guilty than the white race, you know what I'm saying, than white Americans.
Right.
So we know that, we know, but see, the thing is that, like you say, back in the 60s, the 50s, 60s, it was prevalent. It was right there, you know, that enemy, he didn't disguise how he felt about us, you know. Now it's subtle. Now they like to finesse and like to sneak, you know. They like to be real sneaky with their oppression, you know. So people still trying to chase and attain the American dream and ignore all the flaws that they see. And that's the thing, because you may have a group of black people who prospering and doing well as far as materialistically go. So being that they doing well and the oppression is not affecting them, those who are oppressed, they're like, well, if they got it, I can get it. And so they choose not to be a voice to fight against the oppression. They just cop to just go hard and try to attain this material accomplishments like they see the next man got, you see? And so everybody's still caught up in the rat race or working or hustling or whatever they doing to try to get ahead and ignoring the problems that got them, you know, running around in circles in the first place. And back in the day, you know, they was like, all right, hold up, stop. Everybody just stop. We all affected by this. You know, back then, I don't care if you was Muhammad Ali or Harry Belafonte, you know, I don't care how much money you had, they still called you nigga at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? But now, if you got a little money, they'll call you nigga, but it's going to be behind your back. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So the oppression just got a little more subtle. You know, it's still there. It's still a beast. And it's still sucking the blood out of it. But people don't see, because a group of people, a couple of people, ain't got a little bit of money, so they think it's all good now. But, you know, it's still there. Uh-huh. It's still affecting the people. You know what I'm saying?
You know,
so,
You had mentioned Harry Belafonte, Muhammad Ali, and you know those brothers. You know, they played their part and were instrumental in speaking their, you know, their voice to the power that they had to affect some type of change on the struggle. And if we notice, you know, son, historically the women have largely been on the front lines of this battle. And if back in the day they weren't on the front lines, they kept the doors of various movements and organizations open when the men were systematically plucked or taken up off of the chessboard. So I got like a direct question for Queen O'Shun. Queen, what exactly would you want to see, or what do you need to see out of your men out there? And what do you want to see out of your men coming out of this into back out there? I'm real curious in what it is that you feel you need yourself.
I mean, I need unity. I need for us to get it together on all fronts, both inside and out, while they in there as well. Because at the end of the day, we're extremely large in numbers, both inside and out. So, you know, that puts us at an advantage because we have numbers and we not broke. We have collectively, we have money. And, I mean, we need hotels. We just need brothers. Like, we need warriors. We need people that are going to unify, that are willing to put their ego to the side, that can take constructive criticism, that can come up with ideas. We need builders. We need mentors. We need everything. We need men. We need providers. Power is the ability to provide, to protect and provide for, to deliver a consequence. And there was something else on my list, but I can't think of it. But that's the basics of it. And that's what we need. We need our men to stand up.
Yeah, it's one thing, and this gang culture is so prevalent nowadays, and I deal with a lot of young gang members, and you know, it's one thing that I tell them when I first like introduce some consciousness, black consciousness to them, and you know, one of the first things is that I tell them, you know, I love y'all heart, but I hate y'all head, and what I mean by that is, you know, it's no mystery that our youngins, our youth today are fearless. They're fearless, and that's what I love it. And because the youth are supposed to embody that fearlessness, the youth are our warriors. The youth, you know, are our strength, if you will. And but we need our youth to operate on a greater conscious scale. Their heads are so much in the wrong direction. And
that's up to us to provide.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's right.
For real. There's so many.
You know,
I'm sorry, brother, but I got to get this out. It's so many talkers. It's so many people that want to complain but don't do the work. I hear so much, the youth not going to get it. You know, they not going to come together. And I'm out here on the front line. All the time, constantly.
Right.
I live, eat, and breathe revolution. Anybody who has seen the name Oshun Shakur knows that I'm out here, period. And I've seen the young brothers join us when we out here demonstrating and picking up trash and knocking on doors because we set an example. They with it. They with us. But it takes a certain type of person to come at them because they know. They know energy. They know if you coming at them with sincerity in your heart, or if you looking at them like this a knucklehead, I know he not gonna be responsive.
Right.
They teach that. They know.
That's right.
So we just really have to sincerely come to them because they with us. They are.
Absolutely. They are.
Indeed.
Very much with us.
Yeah, and add on. That's the main thing because. People not going at them, you know, like you got scholars, you got people who sit behind desks, and they're really afraid of you, you know. But
most certainly.
You know, and all you got to do is just go out there and talk to them and give them the knowledge. And that's and they're receptive, like the sister saying. They're receptive, and they're willing to listen. You know, if it's real, you give it to them real, you know.
Absolutely. The nature of them is to be rightly guided. You know, the nature of our youngest is to be rightly guided, and to have that heart that they have be harnessed correctly. You know, it's in them. They naturally crave it. They naturally crave it, but they're just such at a crossroads of what is being fed to them.
Thank you for using GTL.
What is their nature and what is their nurture, if you will? It is such a contradiction. And, you know, the things being fed to them is, you know, what they're being nurtured on. But their nature is saying something else. And they are this conflict. So what expresses itself is this conflict, this inner conflict that is taking place in them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once you can explain to them and have them see that there's an inner conflict taking place in you and our people, which is the result of why we are the way we are, then, you know, we can get our youngins, our youth, on board once they can understand that. Yeah. I love
it. I got a question.
That's all I got.
Yeah. I got a question. Why do you think, because Black August is not that known out here, and what reasons do you think may be
I don't think you're in the conversation.
Pardon me.
It's Carter. What's up?
Yeah. So I was saying, why do you think the reasons that Black August is kind of obscure to people out here in society?
He was asking me that. You know, like.
Yeah. Everybody can pass it around.
Okay. I just came back. I'm sorry, fam.
Yeah.
Add on a scarf.
No, I didn't even hear the question. Why is it not important to people in society?
Why is it not known to people out here?
Well, a lot of our history is not known. A lot of our history is not known because it's not taught, you know what I mean, at the end of the day. And it's not taught systematically throughout the education system. So it's incumbent upon us to teach it, but we don't know it. You know what I'm saying? We suffer from a sort of historical amnesia our damn self. So if we don't carry on the legacy, then there's no way that the kids won't know. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? Because you know you ain't going to learn about Black August in no damn public school system. You know what I'm saying? So that's why they don't know. It's real simple. I mean, I watch the television and I see shit about George Washington all the time, or some shit about Thomas Edison or Henry Ford. You know what I'm saying? They got TV shows about Charles Manson. You know what I'm saying? So they going to make sure that you know about very important figures in Western culture and Western civilization. Anything we don't know about us is because we don't know and because we don't teach it. Because they not going to teach it. And I don't blame them for not teaching it, because that's how they maintain their power. And that's why we try to create these Black institutions where we teach you and educate you about yourself. You know what I'm saying? But that's why they don't know. That's why people don't know out there, bro.
You have 1 minute remaining.
True indeed. I definitely agree with the brother. It's the same reason that, you know, a lot of people don't know so much of their history. I mean, I had a incident where I was out with New Era, and somebody said, "Why y'all got that Confederate flag?" And we carrying the red, black, and green. Like, what are you talking about? So, and this was a older lady, too. So, you know, it's ridiculous. We just don't know. It hasn't been taught, and some don't care to know. Some don't care to do the research.
True that.
I mean, I think, and so I kind of came in on the conversation late. I had some technical difficulty. I'm sorry, y'all. It's been a crazy night. But that goes back into what this whole night is about, the struggle, man. The suppression of our voices, what we dealing with on this side of the wall, some of the issues we dealing with now is mass censorship. I just ordered some books, three books, that really aren't threatening to the orderly operation of the institution at all, but because the word revolution was on one of them, they took all three of them, you know what I'm saying? And I told them, you know, seems like the word revolution becomes threatening. The threatening nature of the word revolutionary is subjective. Because if I would have got something on the damn American Revolution or the French Revolution, you wouldn't have had no problem with it. But I get something on the African Revolution and you censoring the books. And it's the same thing with the visitation right now. We got a visitation policy where they harassing our families. I'm asking all the people go to Virginia Families for Visitation Rights on Facebook. That's Virginia Families for Visitation Rights on Facebook. But they harassing our families through the visit. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no heat up here in the middle of the summer. This clown decided to do a lockdown where they just ransacked our cells and kept us cuddled in these cells, man, with the humidity at over 100 degrees for over a week. You know what I'm saying? And it just goes on and on. The list goes on. On the various types of oppression we face, the economic oppression, getting these slave wages, and the fact that they got these commissary MFs, you know what I'm saying, taxing us and got these exorbitant crises. You got the phone system that they raping us, JPay is raping us, you know, and there's so many different, and the war for us is more psychological because they use pacification to keep dudes who already have struggled with education, who are not educated, you know what I'm saying, immobile. You know what I'm saying? They have, like brothers were saying earlier, their development is arrested, and they create an environment that doesn't encourage learning or doesn't encourage development. So it makes it even harder for a brother like me, you know what I'm saying, to motivate some of these dudes to be political, because in their mind, they're looking at it like, I'm in the goddamn way, you know, because they feel like I'm telling them to do to make their bid hard. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough, man. It's tough here right now, and we need the support of the people out there, you know, to help us get involved in this struggle, because they've worked so hard to muzzle us. Like right now, for real, if they really knew what I was doing, I mean, it's a possibility they could retaliate against me. This is something I face every time I come on this radio. I know what I'm facing. I know that they could find out what I'm doing, say that what I'm doing is threatening, or make up some BS excuse and transfer me to one of their dungeons, Red Onion or Wallace Ridge, one of their torture dungeons. You know what I'm saying? I know that, and a lot of brothers, and that's the price of freedom, and that's what brothers ain't willing to sacrifice. But in this month of Black August, that's what we're supposed to be talking about, resistance and sacrifice, political education, unity, spiritual renewal,
and physical fitness. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we got to be encouraging, because when we say we try to replace, and I'm going to end with this, when we say we try to replace the criminal mentality with the revolutionary mentality, what we're essentially talking about is changing a value system. And we got to change a value system of people who are selfish, individualistic, defeated, nihilistic, scared, to one where they're willing to make sacrifices, one where they're willing to stand up, be courageous, have morale, be enthusiastic about liberation and freedom. You know what I'm saying? What you think about that, Truth?
True, indeed. And that's crazy to me because, you know, I'm to the point where I could give a damn what happened. And as a woman, it's like, wow, I'm willing to put my life on the line, my everything, just whatever, for the people, for the brothers. And y'all can't, y'all not going to stand up to? Like, how crazy does that sound?
Right.
It's crazy as hell, man. It's crazy as hell.
Yeah, see, I'm saying, like I was just building, it goes back to what people's mind states are. Like you was just saying how when you in there, some people might seem like the talk that you coming with, the words you coming with, is somehow going to make things harder for them. And even more so out here, like, the immediate relief people looking for is money, you know. And the struggle becomes so much harder. Well, I ain't going to say harder. The struggle becomes so much more obscure for those because they already see a facade or a mirage for individuals to have money. So in spite of all the oppression and all of the traps and tricks and snares that's laid out for them, they will be willing to take that risk in regards of, you know, the knowledge is being kicked. So, like, we know the oppression exists, and so when trying to teach this knowledge, you know, we're going up against a force of illusions that's causing them to say, forget the oppression and forget what, you know, the white man doing or the system doing, because it's an opportunity for me to make some money. You know what I'm saying? And so the goal out here is to get around all of those lustful, glittering illusions and get them back to the core, the basic foundation, you know? And so,
and that's right.
You know, so the struggle is still parallel, but I think it may be the reason why people may be more receptive in prison is because the reality of being incarcerated is right there in front of you. See the pressure right in your face out there, but out here, you know, it's a little more blind, and they really can't see it unless, you know, police beat them up, or, you know, it affects somebody close to. It affects their family or somebody they know, you know, then they see how the system is, you know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, like you said.
Can I add on?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
I want to add on to what you're saying, because what you're saying is so right and exact. And I think one of the struggles that we got today, Black August, we're talking about resistance to oppression, is we have to understand what happened when we chose to integrate as a collective, you know what I'm saying? How that impacted the narratives that we accepted when we did that. Because prior to that, when you had segregation, you had Black schools, you had Black hospitals, you had Black institutions. And in these institutions, you received a Black education, a certain level of Black care, Black churches, religious churches, institutions. You had more Black liberation theologian churches back then. And even though, you know, they were talking about Jesus was talking about, you know, fighting for oppressed people. You know what I'm saying? And so what happened with integration is we forfeited all of that to be able to go into restaurants, schools, and hospitals with white people. And thus, as a result of that, we end up having to live and accept their narrative, their version of what was real and what wasn't. So our perception, you know, our perception has been controlled by a dominant culture because we wanted to integrate with these people. You know, we just assimilated into their way. So now what you're talking about is people don't, when you start talking about racism, because we don't understand the complexities of racial bias and institutional racism, we think racism don't exist. So here I'm talking to a person about racism, and they like, yo, come on, man, it ain't like that no more. We killing each other. But they don't see the deep roots, the racial historical roots that caused us to have so much self-hatred and the ghettoization of America, of Black people in America, rather, that has caused us to be killers of one another. They don't see that history.
Right.
They don't see that lineage, you know what I'm saying? And so what you're
right.
talking about is right and exact, and that's what Black August is about. Once again, it's about reforming, right, that unconscious mind, which is criminal. Because if you are
right.
being oppressed by a group of people or a system and you support it, whether you're conscious of your support for it or not, that's a criminal act. You know what I'm saying? That's a criminal act.
Right.
You know, we have to remember
right.
that crime in and of itself is a social construct, right? It's not a real thing. It's something that people create. You know, they criminalize
right.
behaviors. And so we have to have our own laws and our own criminal code. And for me, when you are a black person and you unconscious, you support the same system that's oppressing you, that's criminal, man. You have violated
no
the law. You know what I'm saying? You have violated the law of human nature right there, your own human nature
yeah.
right there. And so for that right there, you should be punished. And but first,
right.
we have to try to reform them. We have to try to reform those people, which Brother George Jackson then was doing in the prison, which is why they was getting killed. You know what I'm saying? And that's why even today,
yeah.
with brothers like myself, every time I get on this phone, I can't emphasize that enough, I'm taking a chance because it could be the last time y'all hear from me. Things like this can't be taken
right.
for granted. And it's a lot of brothers who I know personally who are great conscious brothers who y'all will never know about because they are being suppressed and repressed in some of these dungeons in Virginia and throughout the country. You know what I'm saying? So this is why the people in the street have to care, because the prison system is used to oppress resistance. See, when you buck out there, if you do make it beyond police brutality and they do get you in these prisons, then what they're going to do is repress your voice. They're going to limit your constitutional rights. They're going to treat you like you're not a human being. They're going to limit your human rights. And they're going to try to take you away from society and make you invisible, like Ralph Ellison was talking about in that book. You know what I'm saying? They're going to make you an invisible person.
Yeah.
And so now you could be in the torture chamber for 10, 20, 30 years, and it's like you got no identity. You got 2.2 million people in the prison system in America. How many people do you know? How many people are known? How many people are just anonymous human beings, man? And that's the design.
Yeah.
That's the design, to remove poor people out the equation. You know, they got too many poor people on the land. As blacks and Hispanics become the majority in this country, and, you know, we don't have access to wealth and power, we become threatening. So where are they going to put our ass at? In the fucking prison. That's what the role of the prison is in the society today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt. It's real, man. You're right.
Yeah, it's real like
right.
that. It's real like that, man. So that's what it's about,
yeah.
Black August. It's about us being conscious of that, all of our connection to the justice system. And like the sister said earlier, the education system leads us to the justice system because the education system fails us, because the education system don't teach us about ourselves. So resistance begins with educating people about themselves, because the culture itself isn't designed to educate you about yourself. So the first form of resistance is gaining knowledge of self and giving knowledge of self. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Without.
True indeed.
And just hearing you build on that, for those who do know, Black August is about rebelling against, you know, all the obstacles that may be in the way of enlightening the brothers and sisters out here, you know, to resist negative, pessimistic responses, and to continue to go forward with the mission, which is to plant the seeds, plant the knowledge, and try to radicalize minds, you know, to reform minds for the betterment of our people, to unify us, you know.
Hotep, I think we're running out of time, but I just want to say to all the people out there, man, support all of the movements we got going on. Prison Lives Matter, Facebook, follow us. We got a lot of things going on. We're going to need your support. Virginia Families for Visitation Rights. Oshun, do you have anything you want to promote, love?
Yes. There's New Era Chicago. They go out every week. We do our hood-to-hood campaign. We demonstrate. We set the example. We, you know, being the change that we want to see in the hood. We talk to the kids. We talk to the community. We go clean up, all that good stuff. Every week we have our community meeting. So go like New Era's page. There's Black to Basics, the Stop Killing Each Other movement. Coming August 12th, we got the Real Revolutionary radio show hosted by myself and Queen Tefna. My eyes. So check us out. That's going to be premiering, like I said, August 12th at 8 p.m. Central Time. Add me on Facebook. If there's anything, I'm here for the people. So if you need me, hit me up. Add me. All that good stuff.
Yeah, What's going on, True Son, man? You got anything you want to promote, my dude?
First, I want to say one love to everybody on the lockdown. Peace to everybody, the brothers and sisters in the struggles worldwide, globally, you know, locally. Operation Pick Up, look it up on Facebook, look it up on the website. We got the One Love Party coming August 13th on the Youth Celebration Against Inner City Violence, where we're going to be supporting, elevating the minds and celebrating youth, man. Come check that out August 13th at Q Street on, at the Robinson Theater. You know, we out here in the communities striving to elevate the minds of the babies, man. So, peace.
Peace to that, man. I want to thank both of y'all for giving me love and support. You know they making it hard for a brother with this dumbass phone. But free all political prisoners, man. Man, I'm asking everybody in the streets, man, to understand that all our struggles are interconnected. All our struggles are interconnected. There's no isolation, man. Let's end the tribalism, man, and unify. You know what I'm saying? Let's unify against the one oppressor, man. That's the racist, classist state. You know what I'm saying? The dominant culture who want to oppress us, man. With that being said, man, peace to y'all. We love y'all. Shout out, man. The support Black August throughout the month. We'll catch y'all next week. What's up?
Peace. What's up? Peace. My love, y'all.
Thank you for using GTL.